You are listening to the Gateway Church located in Ferriesburg, Michigan. You can learn more about us by visiting thegateway.church or like and follow us on Facebook, where you can watch full services, keep up with all that is going on, and get connected.
Our God is a God who has a missional heart. From the beginning of Genesis, we see all through Scripture, it is about His reaching out. He wants to be in relationship with every single person on this earth. He wants to be in relationship with every person in an unreached people's group, a UPG, every person in a city, in a poor situation, wealthy. Because 2 Peter 3:9 tells us that God is not wanting that anyone to perish, but that all might come to repentance. You see, the good news of salvation is for everyone. And this morning, we're going to spend a few minutes just looking at the life of Philip and how he stepped into what God had for him in God's missional heart.
And it's in the book of Acts that we're introduced to who we call Philip the Evangelist. When we first see him in Acts, he's simply a member of the local church community, just like any one of us. Philip is chosen as one of the seven men to help the growing church by waiting on tables, the Bible says. We would say by helping to organize the food pantry at First Assembly of God in Jerusalem. His grand introduction, we find it in Acts 6, chapter 5. First we read here, Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit. By the way, thank you for that introduction. Yeah. That's a great introduction, isn't it? Wouldn't you love to be introduced that way? Here's my friend, a man full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. Also Philip. Yeah. Oh, by the way, there's this other guy named Philip. He's part of the group too. That's not really a big flowery introduction, is it? And yet that's our guy. Nothing flowery or really significant. Just a faithful member who serves in his church like any one of you.
See, Philip wasn't a disciple. He wasn't an apostle, he wasn't the pastor or even a preacher, just an ordinary person who loved Jesus and who had experienced God's work in his life. And we're going to begin looking at this story about Philip in Acts 8, beginning with verse 26, and we're just going to highlight a couple of verses throughout this story. In Acts 8, verse 26, and it says, "As for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, 'Go south down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza.'" Now, the first thing I notice when I read this is an angel of the Lord said to him. Our God is a God who speaks present tense, not just in the past. He is a God who speaks. He speaks to his people. He speaks to us. The question is never, is God speaking or will God speak? The question is, are we expecting him to speak? And are we listening for what he's saying? Because our God is speaking and he wants to speak to each one of us.
You know, so as we look at this, the angel of the Lord speaks to Philip and he says, go south down the road. That helps us understand our first point we want to share with you today, that stepping into God's missional purpose requires movement. In this verse, the angel of the Lord says to Philip, go. God's calling each of us to go as well. Movement. We have to step out. All throughout Scripture, when God speaks, he says, go. God says, go. Throughout the Old Testament, you read it. He says, go to Moses. He says, go to Abraham. He says, go to the children of Israel. And even in the New Testament, Jesus gives what we call the Great Commission in Matthew 28:19, where he says, go and make disciples of all nations. And here in Acts, Philip hears God's voice and he goes. Go is an action word. It requires movement, a stepping out. God always requires following wherever he is leading. See, going requires obedience. Too often, we want to know the who, what, when, where, how, why. We want to know all the details. We want to be able to do a flow chart of it. Put it on our calendar. Sometimes we can even think, well, Lord, I don't really feel like I have enough information right now to act on what you're telling me. Friends, if you're waiting to know all of the details, I'm afraid you're going to miss out on some great things that the Lord has for you to be a part of. See, things become clearer as we're walking by faith in obedience to him.
So the verse said, what the Spirit said to Philip was, go south down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza. Another thing we notice is this road is in the wilderness. This is a road that takes you all the way from Israel down into Africa. And it also makes us realize that there can be times that we might think that there are people or locations where there's really not anyone there who would be interested in the gospel. This is in the middle of nowhere, a wilderness road, a road through the desert. Why would the Lord want Philip to be there? And we want to just remind you that don't ever think, well, that neighbor or that person I work with or that person who goes to school with me, they would never be interested in the gospel. There's no one here that I could share God with. Never think that, because God is always at work. Our God is always working in the lives of people, and we cannot see what he's doing, but he wants each one of us to be able to step into those kinds of places and be ready to work with him in what he's calling us to do. Now in verse 27 it says, so he, Philip, started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian, an important official in charge of all of the treasury of the Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. So as he's going on this desert road, he encounters this Ethiopian man. This man is from a different culture. He speaks most likely a different language. He doesn't know him. And verse 29 says that the Holy Spirit said to Philip, go, there's that word again, go to that chariot and stay near it. And so Philip had every reason to not really want to do that. Here's someone, he's from a different culture. He probably doesn't speak my language. I don't know him. He's clearly of a different economic group. He's riding in a chariot with an entourage, and Philip's just on foot. But Philip doesn't let that stop. And in verse 30, we read that Philip ran up to the chariot. He took the time to get close enough to this Ethiopian man.
And that brings us to our second point. Meeting or stepping into God's missional purpose requires meeting people where they are at. God not only calls us to go, God calls us to meet people at their point of need. See, evangelism has never been limited to the church setting. Now, I'm thankful for those who do come and seek the Lord and respond here in the church. But the fact is, most people who need Jesus are not going to be coming into a church service to find God. Many encounter the Lord through someone else who has been willing to go where they were at and be in relationship with them and care enough about them. This is part of what we do in our missions ministry. People are online. We know that. And they're online a lot. And that's where they go when they're lonely or desperate or hurting. Like Soledad from Colombia, who wrote, my life has no meaning anymore. I feel so depressed. Or Hernan, who said, I need help to break free from my drug addiction. And Maria, who confided, I need to be delivered from witchcraft. Jose, who expressed the need for restoration in his marriage that had fallen apart. Real people with desperate needs. And because we met these people where they were at online in our ministry, and we listened to their heart's cry, and we were ready to speak the message of God's love and transforming power, they found hope and relationship with Jesus, as well as healing and restoration in their lives from the problems that they were encountering. Notice in verse 30 that Philip heard. I think that's a key word for us, because you're never going to hear if you're not willing to listen. Have you ever come across that guy where you're in a conversation and you know they can't wait for you to take a breath? so that they can jump in and take over and monopolize everything else. Don't be that guy. Be the one who listens, who cares enough about other people to pull out from them what God needs to speak into their life. And I really think it's time that we stop thinking that, well, if I just live my good little Christian life and, you know, I put a sign around my neck that says I go to church on Sundays, that people are going to come running to you and fall at your feet and beg you to tell them the secret to life. We need to be willing to go where people are, to get involved with them, to initiate relationships with other people. And it's going to require effort. And this is what Philip does. He runs up to the chariot and he stays with it. He obeys the Holy Spirit and he listens to what this man is saying. This all requires effort and intentionality on our part and on Philip's part. If you and I are going to really reach people and be an impact in our generation, then we need to find ways to intentionally get close to people who don't know the Lord. How can I get that close to people to really have that relationship and to be able to potentially talk with them? Well, people are out there. It can be easy, though, on our part to think, well, everybody's already saved. I live in America, the Christian country, right? Is that true? Everybody's saved in your circle of influence? Not mine either. It can be easy to think, well, people don't want to hear about Jesus. They're fed up with all that Jesus stuff. Friends, they're so desperate in our generation today for truth, for something that's real. They've tasted of the world. They've tasted of things that have proven to be false, and they know there's an emptiness, something they don't have yet. We have the answer to this generation's need. God's heart is for all people everywhere. God's call to each of us today is missional. God is calling you and I to go, to listen, ask good questions, like Philip did. Do you understand what you're reading? Ask about what's going on in their life. Ask how you can pray for them. That's a great key to open up the heart of somebody else. How can I minister to you? How can I pray for you for the need you're going through?
So in our story, Acts 8:30, it says, Philip asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" "How can I," said the Ethiopian man, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. And then down in verse 35, Philip began with that very passage in Isaiah, the scripture, and told him the good news about Jesus, which brings us to our third and final point, that stepping into the missional purpose of God requires sharing the message. What we talk about matters. We need to be ready and willing to talk about Jesus, to share about what God's doing in your life. The message matters. Our message matters. Philip not only was listening to what the man was reading and didn't only ask good questions and get invited up, but he led right into talking about Jesus and about the fact that Jesus had died on the cross for this man. And we need to have that kind of willingness to be ready to talk about God. Be willing to talk about Jesus. Now, you don't have to be a Bible scholar to talk about God, to talk about Jesus. You don't have to speak Hebrew and Greek. You just have to be someone who knows God personally and spends time in God's Word. I have found that so often when I have spent time, which I do daily, spend time in God's Word, that there's something that I read that not only is it God uses in my life to impact me and to shape me and to encourage me, but many times something that I've read this week will also be something that God will drop right back into my mind to share with someone else, that they're something that they're going through. And God uses the time that we spend in His presence and in His Word not only to shape our lives, but for us to be used by God as we're interacting and talking with our friends and our family and the people in our world.
So this is evangelism. having a relationship with Christ yourself and sharing that and your experiences with the Lord with other people to introduce people to our incredible God who loves them more than they can imagine. God calls us to partner with his missional heart by caring enough about lost people that we will go, that we'll meet them at their point of need, that we'll be willing to listen to hear their heart's cry and then be ready to share the message of hope that God has given to us and giving every person an opportunity to know our amazing God. And understand that evangelism is always preceded by God's grace. Before you and I ever go, God's already been at work in their hearts. Perhaps other people have been praying for months or for years for them, like a grandmother in your life or my life. God's been working through their circumstances in their lives to bring them to a point to open the door to himself. See, before you and I ever go, listen and share with them, God's already been at work. He's already been preparing their hearts to receive all that he has for their lives. God's already been preparing this Ethiopian's heart before Philip ever shows up. This court official had been prompted by some emptiness or longing in his heart to make a journey of at least 600 miles to Jerusalem, searching for hope or something that he didn't have. Philip simply steps out in obedience, responding to God's call to go, to run up to the chariot, to listen. And Philip is ready at that moment to share the good news of Jesus. See, God's been working for days or months or years possibly in this man's life. Philip just showed up on the scene out of obedience. So where do you get this kind of confidence and boldness that Philip shows? It comes from understanding that the Holy Spirit is saying to you, go. Share what I've given you. Share what I've poured into your life. The Spirit of God wants to use each of us. Understand this, that you are the right person at the right time to interact with somebody this week that God has been working on. He's been preparing their heart for an encounter, and God's going to direct you to that person.
So if you read to the end of the story, which we encourage you to do at some later time, just read through that whole story and let God speak to you through it. But what happens? The Ethiopian man in verse 36, he believes in Jesus. And then in verse 38, he says, what could stop me from being baptized? And he is, and he's baptized, and his life is changed. That's what God wants to do in each of the lives of the people who you know, the people you interact with. And you need to be able to say, okay, Lord, I'm listening. Who do you have for me to share your hope, your love, and your joy with this week?
And the story here in the life of Philip in Acts gives us confidence that God's working behind the scenes to weave together the stories of those around us. And each of us, as we walk in obedience to the Spirit, can play a crucial role in someone else's faith journey. For those of you who walk with God, the Spirit is calling you this morning, and he's saying, go. Step out. Follow God wherever he leads you to go. God is calling each of us to be a part of all he's doing to bring life and hope to a lost and desperate people, both here and around the world. Listen with hearts of compassion to those that God brings across your path, and always be ready to share the good news of God's love and forgiveness through the blood of Jesus. I believe the Spirit of God is going to speak to many of you this week, and he's going to send you to go. Go to the person that works in the same office as you. Maybe you've never had a conversation. He's sending you. Go to the person in the grocery store that you've never met. I think God's going to speak to some of you this week to meet a stranger and share the love of Jesus, because God's been at work preparing that person's heart. Some of you, sorry, God may be telling you to go not just to your neighbor, but to go to the nations. I believe there are people in this room that God may be calling you to missionary service. Maybe it's a short term. There are plenty of short-term opportunities available to you. But God might be calling you to a life of overseas ministry, Don't shrink back from that out of fear or not having all of the information. If God is calling you, take steps of faith to move in that direction.
We also know that in a group of people this size, that there could be individuals who have not yet entered into a personal relationship with Jesus. They have not experienced that forgiveness of the things that weigh on their heart, the sin and the brokenness in their life. They haven't experienced God's peace or walking with God in an everyday. And to those of you, the Spirit of the Lord says, come. Come. Now is the day of salvation, because God loves each one of you. Each one of you has a purpose. Ephesians 2 tells us that we have a purpose that he's preordained for our lives, and he wants each one of you to know him and to walk with him.
We'd like to pray with you this morning. If our worship team could come. God is at work in our generation. God is at work in this church. God is at work in your life. You've heard us say it many times this morning. If you know the Lord, I got a message from him for you. Go. If you know the Lord today, he's calling you to go. There's nobody he calls to sit and stay and do nothing. Don't talk to anyone. Don't share your faith. That's not God. If you know the Lord today, he's calling you to go. But if you don't know the Lord today, or if you're far from him, you used to be close, but you're not today, he has a different message for you, and that message is come. In Revelation, the scripture says, the Spirit and the bride is the church, is the people in this room, say come to those who don't know the Lord. Would you stand with us this morning? I want to pray with you. If you're here this morning and you say, missionary, something's stirring in my heart. I think maybe God's telling me he's going to send me somewhere, whether it's across the street or around the world. And I want to be ready for that. And I want to hear his voice, and I want to walk in obedience. If you feel like God might be telling you to go to somebody this week or somebody, some nation at some point, would you raise your hand? I want to pray with you today. See, I think God's calling almost all of you to go somewhere. This morning, if you're here today and you can recognize in March of 2025, you are not closer to the Lord, but you're farther away from him than you were in March of 2024, the Spirit's saying to you, come. Come closer. Come back close to the Lord like you used to be. Maybe in this room there are people who don't know the Lord at all. You've never made that commitment. We want to pray with you. Would you raise your hand and say, I want to get closer to the Lord than I am right now? Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for these who are willing to say, yes, I will listen for your voice. I will actively seek your voice. God, I pray today that you would speak clearly to people all across this room. Lord, throughout this week, that they would hear you say, go. Go to that person. Even if they don't know that person, go to a stranger. God, that they would hear your voice and they would walk in your way. Lord, those in this room, there are those who might feel a call to missions, to go overseas, not just across the street, but around the globe. God, I pray that you would prepare their heart to hear that word from you, that they would willingly choose to walk in obedience and go to the nations. God, I pray for those several hands that were raised today, people saying, I'm not as close to God as I should be. And God's not saying to me, go. He's saying to me, come. God, I pray that they would come close to you right now. Lord, in this moment, that they would open their hearts and their minds to you. God, that you would flow into them the life and the abundant living, the fulfillment of plans and purposes that you've had for them. God, that you would break the chains of bondage that have held them back and turned them aside from truly following you wholeheartedly. God, give them a new life. Turn them into new creations today as you promised, so that they might walk in the fullness of God in their lives. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's respond to God's word this morning. Let's just set our hearts before him today.
Out of these doors today, we are going to experience people that feel like they're facing impossible situations. And I just want you to know, you and I have the answer. And we just need to go, we need to be bold, and to share. That's what God's calling us to do. First service, I was thinking as Flynn and Renee, you were sharing that we are 4 weeks away from Easter. And I know Easter can be a great time to invite friends and family, but we have 4 weeks. We talk about it here at the Gateway Church that we're called to reach one more. Everyone say that with me. Reach one more. That's what we're, that's how we say, you know, that we're one at a time to reach one more. And there are people in our lives, there are people in your life that you don't want to see heaven without. Am I right? And so we have a responsibility to get close, to be moving, and then to use our voice to say, hey, Jesus, you need him. And I'm speaking to myself to be bold, and I'm encouraging you to be bold, that this Easter would be different. Jesus' name. I'm going to pray just a closing prayer, but this message needs to stick with us this week. And Lord, I pray right now that it would, that you would help it to stick. Help us to be bold. Help us to be your hands and feet. And God, I just pray, Lord, for those that we will meet this week, whether we know them close, like our family, people at the gym, people in our schools, Lord, wherever we go, or even a stranger at the grocery store or the gas station, God, I pray that we'd be ready to share about your goodness. And Lord, I just thank you, God, for the encouragement. Lord, thank you for Jackie and for Flynn and Renee. And Lord, I just pray that you bless them and bless each of us as we go. As we are representing you, Lord, we thank you for this. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Make sure that you greet our missionaries out in the lobby and turn and greet someone before you head on out. Thank you so much for being here this morning.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from the Gateway Church. If you'd like to find out more about our church, such as service times, giving, and ways to get connected, visit us at thegateway.church.